look at what's happening across Connecticut. Melissa in the Morning's conversation with Governor Ned Lamont. Now on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Governor Lamont, so much happening. But I want to know, am I seeing you this morning to talk about pizza? Is that happening?
I've got to prepare, I'm afraid, Melissa, for the shutdown press conference.
So, I was wondering. Okay. No worries.
The pizza thing. But you know what's amazing? That Anthony and that promotion campaign on pizza, we've had thousands more visitors to our New Haven pizza places than ever before.
I know.
So keep talking about it, would you?
Yeah. I'm leaving my show early to go do it. So, yes, I'm dedicated to it. I got you. I'll cover the pizza. You cover the presser at 11 o'clock, which, by the way, do you mind giving us just a little bit of a heads up? I think I saw it on News 8 that I thought you brought the calm before the storm, saying, you know, in the immediate future, today, tomorrow, Connecticut is in okay shape. But this really can't linger on, correct? I mean, what can you tell people?
I can say that despite the headlines, nothing really changes in the very near term, except when you call your Social Security office or your Medicare office. I'm not sure who's going to answer the phone. Those are federal employees who may be furloughed. For us, most of the ill effects are going to take place over a period of months, not days. The one I'm really worried about in the near term is WIC, which is women, infant, and children. Those are the 50,000 moms and their newborns who get, diapers and formula and support. There we only have reserves for, less than a week. So we'll probably have to make up some of that shortfall in the near term and hope the feds get their act together.
Yeah, my understanding, too, Governor Lamont, is if this lingers on for weeks, we might have issues. It's not like SNAP benefits are going to stop, but we're going to run out potentially, or at least have to pull back on some of those payments. Again, not now, but if this lingers on for weeks, that could be a real issue as well.
Exactly right. SNAP, we've got we get prepaid there, so we've got enough resources to keep SNAP going, at least for the month of October. And pray to God this thing gets resolved in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. I mean, my understanding from insiders I spoke with who are connected to, Washington and giving the latest is that the crux of the issue is separating whether or not to extend some of those health insurance, just being able to, I guess, separate the health insurance aspect of this from the budget. That seems to be the biggest sticking point. I mean, there's probably multiple, but that's where there's no compromise, I guess.
January 1st, under the big, beautiful bill, the cost of your health insurance, at least to most of the people on the exchange, hundreds of thousands of people, is going to go up dramatically.
Yes.
So I think what the Democrats are saying is don't jack up the price of health care for these people and let's, end the shutdown now. I think the Republicans are saying let's end the shutdown now and talk about health care later. That's what the debate is.
Right.
Don't you think you could figure that out? It doesn't sound impossible to figure that out.
Well, especially because it sounds like Congress, they're still getting paid. So
exactly.
They're still getting paid, right?
To give up their pay.
I would
agree
think
with
so.
That.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Well, Governor Lamont, I will certainly be tuning in. Our listeners will be tuning in to see what else you'll be providing coming up later this morning. I want to talk about a couple of things going on in the here and now that are really concerning Connecticut residents, certainly. Let's start with PURA. So huge announcement. Marissa Gillette announced that she is going to be stepping down as chair effective October 10th. And I'm curious, what are the plans to not only fill her role, but the other two vacancies? Because we don't even have a majority to now vote on anything for PURA.
Yeah, we've been looking for additional PURA commissioners for, some months now. And as of last week, we're also looking for a new chairman of PURA because Marissa resigned. She was sued 14 times. She was getting impeached. For her, it was just getting to be an impossible situation. Unfortunately, some of that noise is discouraging some of the people that are really qualified and love to have on PURA. I've got plenty of generalists who would love to come on and help everybody get along. But I need a couple of people who really know their stuff because you're going up with Eversource and UI, very experienced negotiators who are doing this for years. And I want to make sure I have some people who can match wits with them.
So when you say we have people who are essentially, they don't want to go through what Marissa Gillette went through, That's what's stopping them from applying? Because, like, I went online just to see what the qualifications are. There's no application. There's nowhere to apply for that job.
We've got the word out. We're going to major law firms. We're talking to, energy analysts and the such, working really hard to get qualified people who do this. And I don't want to overstate it. We're talking to a dozen folks right now. And it's going to be a mix of people. It's going to be, retired legislators and the such who, understand the give and take, but also some people who really understand regulatory law.
Do they have a past working for our utilities or anything? And the reason I ask that, Governor Lamont, is because PIRA has really, I think, been under scrutiny because, I think that is what led to Marissa Gillette stepping down, essentially, was that it really was a lot under her control. It wasn't really being shared amongst all the commissioners. We also have left two vacant spots for PIRA for quite some time. So are we talking about filling these three jobs with people who have ties to the utilities or have some kind of, you see what I'm getting at?
You got to watch out there. Obviously, there's some built-in conflicts if somebody from Eversource goes over and, serves on the PIRA board. But by the same token, you need people who know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be a mix of folks there. But believe me, Eversource didn't want Marissa out of there because of the emails. They wanted her out of there because she was too tough at holding them accountable.
And she was. I mean, we've had Marissa Gillette on WICC and on my show a couple of times. I know she's a frequent guest on the Lisa Wexler show as well. And I know since she took that position, PIRA was really, I think, put in a more powerful position than it had been since its creation many, many years ago. And one of those things, to your point, is that she was holding utilities accountable if they wanted to have rate increases, so on and so forth. I mean, but it was sort of proven in emails that it was all being directed to her and that commissioners had to go through her essentially when there were requests or things like that.
There's some truth on both those fronts, but at the end of the day, if you care as I do that electric prices are too high, you need a strong, smart regulatory body that holds the utilities accountable. And I'm going to make sure that PIRA fits that role.
I agree. I mean, so how long have we had those two vacancies on PIRA?
We've always had three people on PIRA. The legislature wants two more. We've been searching for that really for a matter of months, trying to get the right folks. And I think we're getting closer. I understand the urgency of this. First of all, I got to get a three-person board and hopefully at the same time make it a five-person board.
Yeah, I just think it needs to happen, like PIRA, and I'm not putting that on you, Governor, but I am saying, if we want to continue to recognize the good work that PIRA is doing, in your words, then we would have a full board. Like, you would never have a board of education and have missing people. You want to have the full board there so people have confidence in the work that they're doing.
Agreed. We're working on this full throttle. I just don't want anybody on that board. I want people who really know what they're doing.
I mean, do you think at any point there would be applications put online? Like, why can't somebody go to the state government website? If there's somebody listening right now who's like, hey, I actually would be pretty qualified, but I'm not connected to the governor. I don't have an insider up in Hartford, but I'd actually be great at this job.
That's a pretty good point. I got to say, we are getting phone calls from a lot of folks who are very interested in the job because it's gotten a lot of publicity. But again, I want people to know what they're doing.
No question. I think if you do decide to make it where people can apply, though, online, I mean, I would gladly push that out because I'm with you, Governor Lamont. I would
Let's
love to
it.
Fill
That's
those
a good
roles.
Point.
Right? Okay, cool.
Done.
Let's do it. That'd be great. All right. And then as soon as it's up there, I will gladly put it in my news. I'll put it all over the place. Make sure we get the applications coming in. Curious also, Governor Lamont, how much do you make working for the board? Maybe ballpark.
150 to 180. It's a pretty good job.
It's a really good job.
It's a professional job. You got staff there that supports you. When there's a docket, you're going to be there in New Britain, almost all the time working on this in person. So it's not a job for somebody who's, wants to be semi-retired.
Yeah. But again, I think that's a pretty attractive job offer, certainly. So, if I can help in any way to get you more applications and really hear from more people, then that'd be great.
Thanks, Melissa.
Yeah, not a problem. Governor Lamont, I hope you'll forgive me. I actually had one more quick question about Pura because I forgot about this. Sorry. I won't lie to you again, I promise. I was just looking really quick at my calendar of stuff that's coming up in the month of October, because happy October, by the way. So Marissa Gillette steps down the 10th. My understanding is there's a UI rate case that's up for a final vote near the end of October. It's like the 28th. Do you feel confident that at least one of those seats will be filled in time to make a vote on that? Because, again, we don't even have a majority.
I hope so. Look, I can get somebody on there pretty fast, if, you know, depending on what our standards are there. I think we probably should do that. You know, unfortunately, that's somebody who hasn't been there for the whole docket, who knows the history of this thing. I'd like to give them a little more time to read all the briefings, make sure they're up to speed.
So, I mean, I don't know if that's out of the question. Could UI delay that or no? I mean, essentially, if we don't have enough people, and even to your point, we have somebody credible to be that third vote, Pura is probably not going to be involved with this.
I got to look into that. Look, if the two commissioners who have been through all the hearings and know it, are they unanimous in supporting what UI wants to do or opposing what UI wants to do, maybe we don't have a problem there. But if they're divided, obviously I need a third vote.
Yeah, only, and I say this only because UI services a lot of our towns and cities that listen to WICC. So this is a huge concern for a lot of our listeners.
We're on it.
Okay, cool. I appreciate it. We've got Governor Ned Lamont here, and I want to talk about something else that is in the works and has been in the works. The effort to try to keep Connecticut Sun. We have had Comptroller Sean Scanlon on. We've had many, many people talk about this, and it's very clear, I think, to our listeners, I hope at this point, if not, go back and listen to some of our podcasts on Voice of Connecticut, that there is no done deal yet. Boston did not acquire it. The WNBA at this point, though, is making it incredibly difficult for Connecticut, Boston, for anybody to really take the Connecticut Sun. And again, the Mohegan Tribe was really just trying to see, you know, hey, what could I get for the team? And now there's a real effort to keep them here in Connecticut. My understanding, Governor Lamont, again, we don't know exactly who the mystery investor is. We have an idea, but not to expose anybody. But my understanding is pension plans, pension funding might be also used on the bargaining table. Do I have that correct?
So here's where we are. As you know, Mohegan Sun put the Connecticut Sun up for sale. They were probably going to leave the state. We said, let's take a second look at this and let's see what we can do to keep the Sun here in the state, which is the home of women's basketball. For me, it was very important that if the Sun stayed, they played more of their games at Hartford, just because the People's Bank Arena, formerly known as the XL Center, formerly known as the Civic Center, you know, was empty a lot of the summer. So we thought getting 15,000-20,000 people, you know, into the city would be a big plus for the Sun, a big plus for us. And secondly, is it a good investment? And Eric Russell, our chief investment officer with an IAC, the Investment Advisory Council, will look and see whether this is an investment they think is good interest of the pensioners. So I urge all the politicians just to slow down on this, let it play out a little bit longer, and I'll be able to present a proposal to you for yay or nay.
Okay. I mean, so when we hear about the pensions, obviously, you know, Governor, you and I have talked about this. And like I said, Sean Scanlon and I have as well. There was so much controversy, especially over the last couple of years, the legislative sessions, when we know that there's such a focus on obviously paying down our pensions, which is fantastic. And we've started to do that. But people always say we have so much money. Why are we spending it here? Why are we saving it here? Why aren't we, you know, again, using more of it? I'm wondering if Connecticut residents are going to love the idea of using pension funds for a sports team, essentially.
Hey, look, they won't love it if they think it's an ill-considered vanity project. They'll love it if they say, even if I don't care about women's basketball, this looks like a really good investment for the Connecticut pension funds, which have gone from 35% to 60% funded over the last 7 years. So let the investors decide that. I don't need the politicians deciding that.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I think the residents, though, to their, you know, I think they're who's worried about it when we say we're putting more money into our pension funds versus putting it towards education spending, housing, food. You know what I mean?
Well, remember, the pension fund doesn't go towards education spending or food. They invest in other projects, private equity or public equities and such. That's risky, too. I mean, look, the Trump economy is pretty risky and the stock market's at an all-time high. So they have to measure the risk and rewards of these things on a strictly investment basis.
Totally. No, I understand that. I guess when we put more money down towards the pension funding versus putting it towards other things like education, that's what I was saying.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Look, the good news is that we paid down so much of our pension debt, which is like it was sitting on the credit card for our kids to pay off. That's freed up $700 or $800 million we don't have to regularly pay into the pension because we paid it up. So it's like paying down your mortgage. The principal is a lot less than it used to be. That frees up more money for your household expenses.
So my understanding, Governor Lamont, is that Eric Russell's looking through all of this, and you'll certainly look at it before doing a final proposal.
Absolutely. He and the investment team will have a chance to look at it. Maybe even the legislature would like to weigh in as well.
Okay. Last thing, Governor Lamont, and I forgot to also mention this to you. You're going to be so mad at me because I didn't really prep anything with this conversation, but I think you've got this one. Last week, you were supposed to meet with UI over the monopoles. Fairfield, Bridgeport, very, very upset about the monopole proposal. The siting council ended up siding with them, and then they decided to delay their vote on this project. Have you met with them yet?
Matt Brockman, our chief of staff, meets with UI and all the relevant parties down in Fairfield area, and will be doing so again. Here's the deal. They need new transmission wires or else the grid is, at risk. We bought another 30-plus days for Fairfield and the other engineers to say, here's a credible alternative to what UI has proposed. It may not involve these big monopoles and could still get the job done. So I think that Fairfield and probably some of our engineers are working on a credible alternative to bring back to UI.
Okay. But to be clear, you have not met with UI.
I have not, no.
Oh, I thought you were going to. What happened?
I got a good guy named Matt Brockman. My job, I know how to delegate.
I must have misheard you. I thought at the rally that they were doing in Hartford, you were like, I'm going to go sit down with UI.
That was a rally of folks in Fairfield and related towns who hated the monopole.
Right.
And I went to them and I said, look, I'm going to buy you some time, but it's not a buy time to just do nothing. It's to come up with a credible alternative.
Okay. So that's what you meant so your team is working with you, that you guys were able to buy them another 30 days and they're having these active conversations to try to find a compromise?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. All right. Governor Lamont, I appreciate you giving us the time on WICC always. Thank you so much and we'll talk soon.
Great talking to you, Melissa. Have fun at the Pizza Trail today.
Thank you. Yes, we'll miss you there, but I'm sure see you again really soon.